surrounding us on every street and throughout the city and the state, there are millions of little signs that have the same message. The sign is required on every vehicle registered in Illinois, in the back as well as the front. It's a license plate that says, "The Land of Lincoln." Lincoln was born in Kentucky. He moved to Indiana when he was 7, where he most likely developed his great character. I'm from Indiana. Then he moved to Illinois at age 21, and it should come as no surprise that different states claim him as their hometown boy. Jesus was born in a different region, as we know, of Israel, in the village of Bethlehem. He spent his early years as a refugee in Egypt. And then he moved to Nazareth. Those in Nazareth are thrilled to hear him read scripture, to preach good news, and anticipate miracles that he might do, until they recognize him as the one who grew up with Mary and Joseph, the carpenter. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they say. "Isn't this the same guy that helped install new doorposts on our home a few years ago?" And you'll remember that when Nathanael was told that Jesus was from Nazareth and also the promised Messiah, he asks, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Nazareth was considered an unimportant place. It was backcountry, a hilly area far away from trade routes. They had a distinctive accent, which we notice throughout the Gospels and the book of Acts when they recognize Jesus and their disciples, where they come from. Now is Nazareth's opportunity. Now is their chance to be known for something wonderful, something great. Yes, the Messiah's hometown. Jesus knows the thoughts and intentions of their hearts. Jesus spoils their desire to make a name for themselves and lay claim to him. They will not have Land of Jesus on their license plates. Jesus brings up two of the greatest prophets, Elijah and Elisha. Both were homegrown Israelites. But both were called to take God's message and power and healing to foreigners, Jesus reminds us. And in both cases, God reveals himself as the true and living God to a people who are born outside of Israel and who worship other gods. These foreigners experience miraculous healing and even rising from the dead. Jesus' point is that he is not Jesus, son of Joseph. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. No, he's not. He is conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. You cannot dismiss him as just another hometown boy. They think Joseph is his biological father. But what is truly significant is that they despise his humanity. They cannot believe that the Messiah that they had longed hoped for could have such humble beginnings and could have grown up right underneath their noses. And no, Jesus will not be used as a pawn to advance the fame and the regional pride of Nazareth. What was true for them is true for us. Many people today accept Jesus as a great teacher and a prophet. We are still perplexed by the eternal Son of God who became human. Even Mary asks, "How can this be?" when she's told that she will give birth to the Son of the Most High. It's still difficult for us to grasp the truth that Jesus is both human and God. He's one person with both divine and human natures. He is God the Son, together with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And as C.S. Lewis so famously said, he is either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. And we still have turf wars over Jesus. Even among clergy and churches and denominations. And it seems unfair and strange and perplexing when God will reveal his power to a people who are very different from you and me. We want a tame Jesus, a predictable Jesus who does things in familiar and manageable ways. Throughout the Islamic world, people are having the Jesus dream. As our dear friend, Pastor Hisham, has shared with us on numerous occasions right here, I'd like for God to do that here in this neighborhood. Wouldn't it be awesome if people would have the Jesus dream and wake them up to the realities of God who loves them, died, and rose for them? But nobody owns Jesus. You cannot put a leash on him. Not even Christians, not even Lutherans. Why can't we experience the same explosive growth in the Lutheran Church in Africa, right here in Chicago? Just as Jesus did not come for Nazarenes and Israelites alone, so he did not come just for Lutherans and Chicagoans, but every tribe, tongue, ethnicity, and people. One of the great ironies of this account is that God uses their rejection and their violence of his hometown to propel him forward, to complete his mission, to bring salvation to the world. The mob takes Jesus to the brow of a hill to throw him off a cliff to his death. Jesus miraculously passes through them, through sin and death, where he will bring light and life to the nations. This is a foreshadowing of the things to come. Jesus will once again face the mobs. They will take him to the brow of another hill, this time outside of Jerusalem, Golgotha, the place of the skull. They will attempt again to discard him, to throw him away like garbage. They will despise and mock him with a placard that says, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Just as Jesus predicts, they will say, "Physician, heal thyself. He saved others, let him save himself if he is the Christ of God. If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself," they will say. "Doctor, heal yourself." Jesus will pass through their hatred, their violence, and sin again. Our hatred, our violence, our sin, and even death itself on the cross. He will miraculously pass through death and the empty grave, and he'll bring light and life to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. To all the world, your summons you are sending. Through all the earth, to every land and race, that myriad tongues in one great anthem blending may praise and celebrate your gift of grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.